Did you guys know you weren't gonna have a quorum, or they just called late?
I know Daniela said she'd be here, she was talking to me.
Is Rob coming?
He, I mean, he didn't respond, but he, I mean.
Okay, I'll just come to the board.
Boy, can you get a hold of him? Who would be able to finish, can just run their informational meeting, I guess it would be, right? You would need one more. Yes.
Uh-oh, now I'll look at that, yeah, now Bob's over there working my wife.
There's Rob there, Rob. So would Daniela?
Well, I mean, you could have an informational meeting.
We did do that, you know, other people.
Start trashing.
You're running, sorry.
Hey, keeping people over time, starting late?
I'm about ready to get unseated. I was saying, what about me after that?
So Jose and Maria are both at the.
There you go, there's your score. You guys are just being fashionable.
No, you guys need to turn the microphone off. Did you turn one? Hi.
We got your dinner and everything.
What?
No, never.
And, you know, Chad, did he?
I couldn't get hold of him.
Okay. Okay, it is Monday, March 16th, 2026. We will call the meeting of the City of Othello Planning Commission to order at 6:02. And we will start with the roll call.
Ruth Sawyer here.
Don Burke's here.
Daniela Voorhees here.
Rob Simmons here. I understand we have two excused absences. Jose Garza and Maria, I forgot Maria's name, last name right now, sorry.
Martinez.
Martinez. And so that's it as far as we know. So we'll move on to public input. Do we have any public input? We do. Please come up and state your name, rank.
Rank and file.
Serial number.
Gina Doro, 850 East Hemlock Street. Good evening to the Planning Commission. And my name is Gina Doro. If you don't know me, I'm pretty sure everybody knows me. I'm representing Terra Gold Farms as a facilitator. I'll be attending future meetings as a resource for any questions or discussions about our land development plans and intended uses. I look forward to working with the commission and supporting a collaborative planning process. Terra Gold Farms is committed to thoughtful growth that benefits both the community and local economy. We're focused on collaboration, transparency, sustainability throughout the development process. At this stage, plans are conceptual and flexible, and we appreciate the commission's guidance as things evolve.
Hey, Sheena, congratulations.
Thank you.
Look forward to working with you.
I'll be here.
All right,
any other public input? Bob always says not yet. All right, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes, and we'll start with, we approve them all together or one at a time?
Either way, whatever you feel more comfortable with.
So we'll start with February 17th, 2026. Does anyone have any comments on that? I had one, and I actually meant to call this in, and I apologize. On page
4 of our packet,
2 of that, of the minutes, Chad is referred to as Chad Robinson. That was the only thing I noticed. Anything else that anyone noticed on that?
Mm-mm.
I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Make a motion to approve meeting minutes, February's meeting minutes.
Been a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
And then the March 2nd minutes, Bob noticed a few typos, so I fixed those. The one that's posted online currently is corrected.
Okay.
Typos then.
Okay. So March 2nd, 2026 special meeting. I'll entertain a motion for approval of those minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. So next item is comprehensive plan update, goals and policies. Anna, I'll let you kind of explain what you're hoping for from us on this.
Sure. So we are going to start looking at the goals and policies, looking at some that maybe need some discussion. Rather than, there were some that were really straightforward, so we weren't really going to discuss those at this point, just the ones that need more discussion. And so tonight we have with us our consultant from SCJ Alliance, Aaron, and I'm not forgetting your last name. I'm sorry.
There we go.
So I'll let Aaron introduce himself and we'll just get started.
All right, thank you. Okay. Nice to meet you all. I'm Aaron Mercar, a planner with SCJ Alliance, and I've been working with Anne to get the comprehensive plan process going. So I'm looking forward to working with you guys tonight and talking through some of these goals and policies. I know you've already been hard at work on the vision statement work that we've sent your way, and then also you've looked through the survey, correct? So appreciate all of your feedback. Tonight we wanted to focus on start getting going on the goals and policies section of the comp plan. One of the things that we want to do with this comp plan is provide a more consolidated goal and policy framework, something that's a lot more straightforward, give you something to reference all in one place. So a thing we've done with other communities is put all of the goals in like a matrix table and all of the policies in a matrix table. They cross-reference each other, and then they also indicate which element they're a part of, which elements they relate to. So you can have goals and policies that relate to different elements because often there's crossover. So the way we started going about this is we started with the current comp plan and dissected all of the goals and policies that are currently in there and put them in a table on their own. And we went through them and identified which ones, okay, these ones were pretty, you know, pretty confident, are straightforward, are pretty clear, either that they need to stay or go. But there were some in there that we wanted to make sure we brought up for further discussion before we really decide on which direction to go with those. So that is the table that you're seeing before you tonight. We have a few pages worth, and hoping to just go through those one by one. I can, I believe, share my screen, and I will just take our notes. And what I'm hoping for tonight is I don't want to necessarily wordsmith all of the goals and policies, but I want to understand what you guys are feeling about, how you're feeling about the general content and idea of these goals and policies so that we can know how to move forward. I think this is just the first step, so if we don't get through all of it tonight or if we don't get the exact wording tonight, we can always work on that more another time. Any questions before we get started?
So you're wanting us to decide if some of these statements we think don't even need to be in the goals and policies.
Yeah.
Some need to be reworded.
Yep. I think just whether, I think some of them, if they're still relevant, then we can keep them or change them. Or if some of them are just not relevant anymore, we can just get rid of them.
And they're from the current comprehensive plan that was done in 2015?
Yep, correct.
Maybe I'll go through this, but I was wanting to, and you touched on that a little bit about goals and policies. Some of them I felt were more like policies than a goal. So I don't know if there was like a header of a goal and then policies to go with that goal. Because you said there was a matrix and they kind of go into.
Right. Yeah. So the.
A little bit of a blur. Like, is this a policy or is this a goal?
Exactly. Well, and I think that's one of the issues with the way the current plan is set up is some of these are phrased as a goal or policy, but they're, you know, it's phrased as a goal, but it says it's a policy or something like that. So we'll make sure it's really clear. I think the way that it's currently set up is here's the goal and then here's all the policies that go with that goal. And the way we, because there's a lot of crossover and repetition, we were thinking if we had, here's our list of goals and here's our list of policies, then we could kind of cross-reference those policies into those goals. So while it might not be the exact same format, we would make it clear which ones are goals and policies. So I think right now, I don't know if that's what we need to determine tonight. I think we're more on, are these ideas and themes still good?
Applicable.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And we're live. Okay, cool. Yes.
Do you want me to read each one, Anne, and then discussion, or do we need to even read them? We just go right into the first one, or?
I was thinking we could just start, we can read through the statement. Anne and I have compiled some candid notes here, and those are more for reference, but yeah. I think we can just go one by one.
So you can read them? Yeah. Perfect. That's okay. Even better.
I have an 8 over here. I'm just kidding.
Any other questions before we get started?
No.
Okay.
There's yes. One. Have we settled on a vision?
No.
Okay.
We have notes.
The first one kind of complicated.
Well, but I mean, can't you? Yeah. Think about that in the abstract once you have a vision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our idea, and just an update on the vision, because I know you guys worked through that just a couple weeks ago. So we're going to, our idea was to turn that into some draft language and provide that back to you, and we bring it back at one of these meetings for us to walk through together. So you will be seeing more of that. All right. Yep. So the first one, the City of Othello vision should be revisited regularly as new council members join the city council. We wanted to make this a little bit more clear and straightforward and say, okay, not just as council members join. A thought is this vision statement and the comp plan in general is something that represents the community. So I think having it read as though council members are coming in and able to change the vision of the community, I think it needs to be a group-wide decision and should follow some sort of pattern rather than just when new council members come on the council. But wanted to get your thoughts on that, especially since we have some council members here.
I think periodically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Work. Which was my
two cents. What would drive it? Because periodically even every few years is very open to interpretation. So,
correct.
What do cities, municipalities typically do?
What if you did it with every election revisited with? Because then there would be an election every 2 years.
I'm kind of a mission vision guy
mm-hmm.
on a lot of my approaches in leadership
and in different areas. And the way mission and vision should be is that is your North Star. That is your guiding light. Everything you do should serve the mission and vision. So when we're talking about periodically bringing up and bringing it out, it shouldn't be periodically. It should be constant. It should be when somebody brings a policy, when somebody brings a code, it should fit within that mission and that vision. That's how true strategic planning and accomplishment happens. So it should be a constant living aspect of everything we do. And if we make a good one, that's what we'll get out of it.
So Chris, you're thinking revisit means to just look at it.
I think we should have one.
Pay attention to it. In my mind, I was thinking revisit, like rethink if it should be changed. So maybe we're looking at two different ways. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah, if you have a vision, it shouldn't be something you create it and then 10 years later go, hey, let's look at that again.
Yeah.
So maybe some clarification on what you mean by revisit, or yeah, what this statement means by revisit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think first of all, statement should represent, you know, good planning is you get that vision from the community.
So aspiration.
Yes. So I think I just wouldn't want it to be an insulated process that says the council's going to be revisiting this every 2 years and hashing out how do we change the vision statement. It should be a public process. So I guess, I think it could be something that's up for, you know, you can kind of change and evolve as needs come up, but you should also say, okay, well, if nothing's come up for a few years, maybe it's time we, you know, look at this. So I think it can be a little bit more flexible, and I almost wondered about if it should even be considered like a goal or policy, because it just should function that you can revisit anytime. But I just think the path that it should follow should be a very public and open process. So
I mean, revisit regularly or periodically makes sense to me. And then I understand what you're saying about removing the council members section of that. Tend to agree with the staff notes. Mm-hmm. Every few years might make it to where then it's like an expectation. So mm-hmm. That's the only thing I would say.
Well, and I think it could be, I mean, I think it could be as easy as revisit at a council meeting and
yep.
Say, nope, still good. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a big process, but. Yeah.
Jenny, you had something you want to say? You probably have to get a mic, though.
I just was going to say that.
Yeah, up to the mic. Oh, sorry. Newbie.
Thank you. I was just going to say that I think that what you guys are talking about is really good, but I think that you do need to have some kind of set time on that. If nothing comes up, a set time to revisit. Because unfortunately what happens is if there is no set time, it just gets shunted to the side and nobody revisits it. And then all of a sudden you're 30 years later going, oh my God, we've not looked at this for 30 years.
Yeah.
Which is why I think maybe every time an election is ran, it should come up again.
So then you're saying every 2 years?
I don't see why not.
So if you're using good corporate practice, you look at this as low, like it's your strategic plan. You know, how long do you want that strategic plan to last for? How currently you guys are making a comprehensive plan, which is a 10-year plan, correct?
Yeah, it's a 20-year plan.
20-year plan, but repeat. So if you want to approach it like a corporate sort of approach, you would probably make your vision for a 10-year and then revisit it at 10-year. Is it still what you're trying to accomplish? Is it still what you aspire to be? Are we still consistent with that? I think that when you apply mission and vision to governance, is having that North Star, that direction, that where we're going, this is how we're going, this is what we're going to. It's better for everyone to annually understand that this is what they signed up for. And it may even help those who run have better direction on how they want to do what they want to do. So if we're doing this right, everything that we do, that you all do, everything that we all do on city council, everything staff does is driven towards that direction. That is the, how does that fit within this mission and vision? With that in mind, it's probably a little bit more regular, or probably not as regular as an annual thing. It should be culture. And that culture probably needs to be judged and visited. Unless you have time periods less, currently we don't do strategic planning at the city council level, which blows my mind, but it is what it is. That's the way it's been. You guys could at least accomplish that in the 10-year periods of this. And I think it would serve the city much better than what has been happening. And if you want to make it less than that, you can. I think, though, if you do it any more than once every 3 years, you're going to probably dilute where you're trying to go. That'd just be my recommendation on that.
Okay, so we've had several recommendations. What do you guys think?
Every 2 years works good.
Either or works periodically, annually, every 2 years. If you want to get rid of the council members, then I wouldn't say every election. I would just keep it at, like she said, a set time annually or.
You could kind of roll them together and say it's revisited regularly at least every 2 years, mm-hmm. right? So you can look at it more often if you want to, but at least every couple of years. So even if it's not with an election cycle, if you do it every couple of years, you're going to capture whoever's on the council at the time.
How do we feel about that? Mm-hmm. We're good with that? Okay.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think in general, we want this to be something that is culture and representative of the community. So, you know, it shouldn't be something that can just change at a whim. It should be something that's really thought through, regardless of when and how often it's updated. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good feedback. Thank you. All right, we'll move on. Promote a service delivery system visible to users, accessible to all, and centrally located. This one's a little vague. We didn't have specific notes about it.
Yeah, tell me more.
Yeah, I think in general, I mean, just from my experience working with comp plans, a lot of these older comp plans have statements like this that are just kind of broad. Basically, it says that the city is going to provide services to residents. I'm trying to read a little bit more into this one, like visible to users, accessible to all, centrally located. Those all say, you know, transparent and efficient. But I don't know if it specifically talked about what the service delivery systems are. So
I guess if I were to
put a recommendation or note in this one, it would be, I think we cover this in some other
policies.
Need this specific one, but I also know it's an important concept to make sure we keep. So I don't know if anyone has thoughts.
I agree with your recommendation.
Yeah, with that.
By service delivery system, you think that includes a website as a place to access the services?
Like the city website?
Yes. The reason I asked was the city website now is poorly functional. Mm. It just doesn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clumsy to use. If I were somebody wanting to move here and say, what's the city like? The mm-hmm. city website would be so perplexing, I would move to Wallouk.
Don, have you looked at the refreshed website that's been maybe in the last month?
I looked at the one this morning.
This morning, okay.
And it hasn't much changed. A couple of pictures have changed, but the old council members are still there. And it's, even to find the calendar, it takes three steps. It's very hard to use. I know that's a professional problem, because you're accustomed to using all kinds of websites, but a lot of the people that want information are not. They need a very easy website that really is functional.
Yeah, it's a good point. What the city service is. I mean, I kind of read that as capital facilities and utilities, that those types of services. But yeah, I think that's a good point to just note that the city's just general communication with the public, we should make sure that that's strong as well.
The other thing that's hard is contacting the police. They have a perfectly fine phone number, but if you walk into this building that says police on the outside, you don't find anybody. If you stand around long enough, somebody from the police department will come out and ask you what you want. But it's very hard to use.
Hey, Don, there's a buzzer.
I haven't seen it.
Don, we did just check. The app does have the updated council members on it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I looked at myself not too long ago. I looked very good, but.
But this is more of a question if we want this as a current goal and statement.
Yes. No. Yeah.
This being so big actually get you in some trouble. If somebody could come and say you have this goal and you have this statement and yet you're not providing me with the service that's visible enough for me or accessible to me, could it get you into some trouble?
I don't know if this, because it's a goal and policy, I don't know if it's saying that this is, it's not saying, oh, we do that. I mean, it is more of a goal anyway. So I don't know if it would necessarily get us in trouble, but.
Chris.
As written, I will just point out that this does, as you said, I think this is something that lots of cities use, and they probably use this exact language to give whoever is in charge the flexibility to deliver these services which would be consistent and effective within that community. So honestly, I think this is fine the way it is and probably move on from it to the next thing would be my recommendation.
I would agree with your original recommendation that if it can be covered in other goals and policies,
yeah. Leave it like it is.
Okay, so we've got a couple recommendations. What do you think, Ruth? Danielle has said, let her go.
I had to look up what a delivery system pertaining to the city was. And I'm not sure that what we provide.
Ruth, is your microphone on? You seem very quiet.
I had to look up what this meant. And it pertains to our goals and what we're trying to accomplish as a city. And I'm not sure that at this point this is being accomplished. So I don't know if we need it to be this vague or more specific to what is actually going on.
You feel like it's okay to have it somewhere else and maybe being more specific, but not necessarily here?
Probably.
I think that's the question, right?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be kind of a playbook sort of to say what we're doing to accomplish our goals. So I don't know.
You for leaving it or pulling it and having it somewhere else?
I don't think anything has to be final tonight. I think.
Yeah, because it's so vague, I think it would just be more confusing to leave it in than to have it.
Okay. And Don, your point's been noted, but Are you okay with it having it maybe be spelled out differently in a different area? It sounds like pulling that section is fine.
Okay. We'll move on. Okay, the next one is promote an annexation strategy that ensures requests for expansion result in development projects, effective and efficient service delivery, and that do not place undue burden on city taxpayers for the expansion of city services. Our comment, which is a question on this one, is there a way to ensure that annexation results in projects? And I think this one could be a little tricky. I think there's some
just a bit.
I think it's a difficult thing to ensure.
Right.
But wanted to bring that to you guys to get your thoughts and ideas. I know there have been some annexations in recent years, so you know, maybe we can look at some other examples of how those have developed and moved forward or not, but I don't know if anyone has strong opinions on this.
I didn't mind it. I do like the verbiage about it does not place undue burden on city taxpayers. I mean, that's always a good goal, right? In general, just that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind keeping it. My two cents. But yeah, how to ensure.
Right. I think that's maybe more of the question of, I think everyone would, most people would say this is a good idea, but you know, how do we ensure that?
So if we don't have a policy to match up the goal, then do we want the goal, right? Because if this is a goal to the follow step, the follow-up would be the action steps. And if we don't have that, then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if it just said promote an annexation strategy that does not place undue burden on city taxpayers for the expansion of city services? Is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
That could be solid.
Take out that middle section.
I have a question about that. Having been a spectator for the last three annexations, the city council is reactionary. They're not driving the process. They're responding to whatever somebody brings them, which seems not a really good strategic choice. The city council, at least in public, has not expected the developer to give quite specific details about what you're going to do. How are you going to provide services? How is this going to be set up?
Good.
Yeah. So I think, unfortunately, you have to deal with some realities. And so what people are asking, first off, when you look at this process, and I'm going to just, I hate to go into much detail, but I'm going to have to. There's some differences in our situation by not being a fully planned planning area and the size of the area that can be used for. So a lot of how annexation currently happens is somebody who is in our growth management area comes in and says, hey, I want to be considered for annexation. And we have to follow a legal process from that point on, no matter what. I think what's written here is really pretty good for an explanation on a very complex issue. And what happens with the city council in that regard, and for that matter, typically the planning commission, is you guys decide 113 and make a recommendation on it. Is this annexation not a burden to the taxpayers, not a burden to the city? Will it be to the benefit? This is what basically all that is saying. And this is the process that you go through. If you're going to make any change from that, where you look at, is here where a way to ensure that annexation results in projects? About the only way you can do that is have complete control of the economy, or you can do the best you can to facilitate projects. Now, I will say I've been involved and paid a lot of attention for a long time on this. I think Othello has grown in a good place to be better facilitators than we used to be. We used to be cops, and we still got to be a little bit of a cop, but we become better facilitators. And that's about all we can do. The rest of this, I think if you follow these guidelines, it really defines what will and what won't happen in an annexation.
Yeah, I think there, this could be where it may be appropriate to say something more like, we support, you know, support and encourage annexations that will result in development projects. But to say something that, you know, a strategy that ensures, it seems a little too strong to actually implement.
It almost sets it up for failure when you say ensure and you can't come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, support and encourage.
You've gone through enough of these too.
Much better word choice, I think.
Yep. I knew you dialed in on that one. We've gone through this. We've played this game a few times.
Is that, I want to make sure.
That sounds good. Everyone's good across too.
Okay. We'll move on. 1.2.3, developments adjacent to transportation corridors, gateways, or intersections of concern should be responsible for contributing to the development of gateway features. So our notes on this, that this hasn't been added to the development code, should be discussion about whether this is still desired. Recent direction has been to reduce development standards to make business more feasible. So this one, it does put a little bit more burden on developments to make sure there's some contribution to gateway features, which I think have benefits, but can also be a burden to new development. So just looking for discussion and some direction on how to approach this one.
Do you feel like the way it's worded right now would inhibit? Is that the concern?
Yeah, I think this says to me that we're really prioritizing the development of gateway features. And I don't know necessarily what that means, but I think if we're talking about transportation corridors, gateways, and intersections, that's a lot of places throughout the city. So if gateway features are trees and signs and plants and things like that,
I was going to give working examples.
More burdensome than baseline development regulations.
Okay, Chris.
If I could give a working example of what you might want to be concerned with, all right. Even though I might be risking divorce by saying this, when the Ochoa annexation is developed, there is going to be some issues on 14th and Main. If you don't see it coming, I can tell you it's coming, and it's going to be pretty dramatic. So how do we mitigate that situation as part of that planning? You know, I think that, and also, okay, so that's one aspect of it. Maybe different entries are going to be part of that plan, but also keep in mind, you also are trying to keep a small town feel in this community. I mean, that's things we talked about last time. So that should also be part of that. How are you going to mitigate that traffic? How are you going to make that feel? If you're sitting at three runs to get through the stoplight at 14th, that's not the small town feel. And those are the things that are going to be problematic. So I wanted to give that as an example as to, and I don't think we currently have a way to mitigate and address that.
I was just going to ask, and don't we have something in the development section we did for the developer? Why can't I speak words? What do I want to tell you? The neighborhood design stuff we did.
I knew you were going to neighborhood design.
Doesn't what we did in that plan
help with that?
Help this goal? Because we put requirements in there about outlets and the race side. We did the traffic safety stuff and we did all sorts of things in that plan.
That's where they leave that area, where they leave the neighborhood.
Right.
We didn't really address
so,
that.
So, I mean, traffic flow,
mm-hmm.
we're going to address that in a different, in the transportation element of the comp plan. We'll have new regulations to deal with that. I mean, this is specific to gateway features. I mean.
Which is what exactly?
Definition of gateway features.
In.
Going into adjacent development.
I thought it was more just like aesthetics is how I interpreted that, but I wasn't here when this was written, so. That's how I.
Yeah, because we're also struggling what the definition is. Yeah.
I get your definition.
The welcome to Othello on 14th at STCU. You know.
So then, can we then.
Beautification committee stuff.
Can then we then change the verbiage so that it's better understood?
Yeah. And do you want that? Do you want to require that?
I would personally feel yes, because the three of us just totally interpreted that three different ways.
Yep. Well, I guess her question, though, do we want to require.
True.
Does the commission want to require this, or do they just want this to be gone, right? Is that the question? Because if 1.2.3 is staying, then I do think it needs
clarification.
Explanation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But is your question more, does that need to stay even because of your comments over there? It's not in the development code, and
what does it even
make
mean?
It more burdensome? Does it make it more burdensome for people to build or bring business?
Right, yeah.
I think that was my take on it, is that it seems like we're like maybe we haven't defined what these areas are, so it's vague to begin with, and there's really no way to ensure it, and if we did find a way to do that, it might be burdensome. So I think, you know, I think gateway features are great and important, and I think help with your, you know, visibility and identity as a community. But I don't know if that's something that we want to put on developers.
Should we have any, right? So then we're talking about new developers and new businesses coming in with a requirement that has not been here before. So it's making it more burdensome on new people.
That was the concern.
Develop, right, because we haven't asked for that. I mean, we've got multiple new neighborhoods. I live in a new neighborhood north of Olympia, and there's nothing there saying that that's the Sand Hill Estates or whatever it is. There's nothing that says that. So.
Maybe we could get like a 15-foot picture angel book.
So back to the Planning Commission.
I could see us
talking more about gateway features when we do some mapping exercises and stuff like that later on in this comp plan process. But I guess it's a good question now to ask, like, is that something we want to look at or focus on at some point? Or are we not big on gateway features to begin with? It's not a requirement to be.
All right.
Last comment I'll try. I promise I'm trying. Bert, I just... Every time I hear that burdensome is always bad. I cannot tell you how many times projects in all over the place are ruined because somebody had to put up a sign that they didn't think they deserved to put. It is the littlest thing that will prevent a major project from happening. So if you do it, just keep that in mind, that it might be the smallest little detail that ends up preventing something going forward. So if you put these things into effect, you better have a darn good reason for it, because it might prevent 1,200 units coming into your community.
So what's the recommendation on this one?
Well, I think if gateway features are important, I think we should modify. But if gateway features aren't necessarily important, I think we could remove it.
It's not in code, so I'm guessing it hasn't been found to be important, right? Is that safe to say?
And I'm hearing, I mean, from what I'm seeing and hearing, I'm not hearing.
No. So reword or remove? What's the recommendation?
I mean, at this point, I would probably recommend removal. Otherwise, but someone has.
No, remove.
Don't remove.
Do remove.
Remove, okay. Daniela? Okay, Don?
Okay.
Go with removing that one?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. another annexation one. Annexation areas will automatically be zoned for high density, which is R4 or as amended, high density residential, unless the annexation is accompanied by land use applications and a zone change request for a specific zoning district. So zoning for annexed areas should match adopted land use designations instead of having a default. And there could be a preference for residential designations to be zoned R4 unless specifically requested otherwise. So I think...
This is said in a different way, but it's more clear. It's said in a different way, but more clear, plus land use then takes priority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes sense to me. How do we feel about that one?
I just had a question for Anne on this one. Is this in a policy somewhere already in our code by chance? And the only reason I'm asking is because I feel like that's what we already do. So if we're already doing it, do we want to list that again in our comprehensive plan if we already have it listed somewhere else? I just don't want it to be a lot for somebody to read and they're reading the same thing in two different areas of code.
Mm-hmm.
That was my question.
Isn't this a goal, though, that drives our planning?
I guess I haven't been following this goal in the existing code that says we're supposed to zone everything R4 when it's annexed. I've been following the land use map that the Planning Commission and Council adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So is it redundant or just...
That's what I would, yeah.
Or does it just show that our planning is following
the
goal?
The only thing
is?
Would be, so like the land use map just says residential. Do we want to have a preference for it should be high density, or do we want the developer to say, to have a little more say in what they want? I mean, they can always say what they want, but do we want to have it say that there's a preference, or do we want to leave it open?
So then this verbiage would not be redundant. It would add on to what's already being...
Depends on what you say.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't already...
That it should follow the land use map, because it just should. That doesn't even need saying.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I just thought that's what was already being done. So I didn't know if we had that in a code.
So we are doing in the second column, those were the notes. That's what we're actually doing.
Okay.
The first column is what the comp plan currently says, which we are not following.
If I could, again, like you said, unfortunately, me and Alma have spent a lot of time doing all this stuff, so we probably have a lot of input here. I would recommend keeping it as is, and the reason being is having that R4 is going written like that is actually when people are looking for where to do projects, where to do things, to know that we made R4 very buildable so we could get a lot more units in there because that's what we need. And that is attractive to developers to know that that's okay, that they're not going to run into a roadblock if that's what they want to do. For example, Olson's, that whole thing's R4. And that's okay. I mean, nobody would probably know the difference between R4 and an R1 driving through the Olson development. But because of the way that was done, it gave them more freedom to develop that land. And if you give people more freedom when they're looking around all over the place, they're more likely to come to your community. That's why I like how it's written there on that, because I think it actually promotes it. And what will happen is somebody will go in there, well, I'm going to build a little R1 here and a little R2 there and a little R4 here, and oh, I can do that. But it's the getting the attention that people have the freedom to develop that this helps.
So, but I guess that would be just for the part that's designated residential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we're not going to, if it's designated commercial, we're not going to zone it.
Oh, yeah, that's totally different.
Which is what the current one says.
Yeah.
So it needs some change.
So yeah, I think we either need to say residential annexation areas. I mean, if we want that. And I think
that's why that's in parentheses.
I think maybe listing a specific zone is maybe not the best for a goal or policy level language, but I think if we do have a preference for residential annexations to be higher density, I think we could still state that.
Are developers looking at our strategic plan, or are they looking at our code when they're thinking about developing? That's the question, right?
Probably code mainly, but I think occasionally they could look at.
It depends on if they're looking inside city limits or outside.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know, I'm sorry. I become newly aware, and I might have to have Gina talk about this. Just how you put that can really matter, because, for example, the east half of industrial, the landowner there has no intention of industrial ever going in there, ever. Yet he is contacted regularly about industrial development there. Isn't that correct, Gina? And he continually turns it down because he does not want industrial there in any way, shape, or form. So yes, what you put there will impact what developers look as opportunity.
It struck me that this is actually too restrictive. We're establishing a character of the town by saying we're by default high density, when there's a great many people that would like to move here that don't want, they want to live in town, but they don't want to live in a high density development. Just automatically labeling a preference for high density seems too restrictive, because there is a market for developments where there are only two lots in an acre. If we kind of lean on high density, we've eliminated those potential developers.
No, they can do whatever.
Yeah, you could put a single family home in an R4, but you could also put a duplex or a triplex or an apartment building.
So when they do a land development, a planned development, they're going to give, so somebody's looking for a possibility. What they're going to look for is the best opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the attention getter to make money. But what you find out happening is they'll do a mixture of different residential zones within that, which they work out with them.
What if it said something like,
make it all four, R4, but it might, like I said, the Olson development, it's all R4, the whole thing.
Well, the way it's, I see what Don's saying by the way it's worded, though, but if you said residential annexation areas will be
high density,
zoned R4 to allow for the flexibility, that might then.
See, if you say R1, then they can't put anything else in.
But why not just leave it up to the developer?
You're right. That's exactly.
But so why do we even need a goal then?
We'll automatically be zoned for high density, maybe, is what Don's saying. That makes someone say, oh, I don't know if I want to go for all high density. But if you say to allow for the flexibility of zoned R4, some people don't know what R4 means because not every city calls it that. And so if you said zoned R4 to allow for flexibility, then that's probably going to make a developer say, okay, I like flexibility.
You know for a fact that nobody knows.
I like that verbiage better. Maybe if you did remove the high density and put zoned R4 for flexibility,
that
would be great.
Sounds more inviting.
Does that mess you up though, Ann?
John, what do you think about that?
I don't see what we're achieving by having this.
Zoned for residential flexibility, how about that? You don't want the clarification. You don't want the detail.
Not everyone wants to build an apartment.
Designated residential, then they can look at our residential zones and pick.
Okay. They can do whatever they want.
You know, the ones they want. So I don't see that this.
It's not necessary.
It just seems like it's taking up space.
I like what you're saying. That works.
Yeah. What do you think?
I kind of agree with Ann. I think one of the things that the city has always has been talking about for quite a few years is that we want to make sure that we're friendly for development, so that the developers do come in and develop our land. I think if you start putting, it's going to go to R4, it's going to go to R1, it's too restrictive, and I think you need to leave it a little open for the developer to decide.
So decide the R1, R2, R3, R4, or R4 lets them decide whatever they want to build, though.
I think what Ann was kind of angling towards was better.
Okay, so let's reword that then, and then when we can see what you come up with for that.
Yeah, because I think the gist of it sounds like if the future land use map shows this area as residential, then that allows for any of the residential zones to be picked when that is annexed. So there's, even more flexibility by just kind of defaulting to the future land use map.
Isn't that taken away from what you, the work you guys did though, and what you were trying to do?
No.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, even what Aaron said about if you removed it completely, it still wouldn't change what we currently do. So you could get rid of it if you guys felt like it was an unnecessary.
It's redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, because we already are going to follow that guideline.
Okay. Good with that? What's everyone else feel?
Sounds good.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Okay. Good.
All right. Next one. In order to prevent premature rural density development within the growth area, lots created in the county after the comp plan is adopted should not be considered for service provision unless they are annexed prior to division. Mm-hmm. So I assume that means subdivision. So on this one, we're saying city services should not be provided outside official city limits unless an annexation and or development agreement is in place for areas within the city's future growth area. And city services should not be provided outside of the city's future growth area, really for any circumstances except for essential public facilities. That's just typically not good practice, and I think not even really legal a lot of the time.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But
the city currently does provide services to county properties. Currently, right now.
Yeah.
So this goal is counterproductive to what we already do.
Except should we continue with that? You know, for new areas.
I mean, they pay their dues, so.
Yeah, they pay 1.5
Yeah, they pay for that service. So I guess what I would consider is, could this hurt us if we continue to offer services in the future?
Well, Paul and I would.
Because we already do it now, and I don't see where it's ever been an issue. So I don't know why.
Because you haven't been back there.
Sorry, Ann. Staff-wise, maybe it's an issue.
And you know we don't try to make it easy on you.
For the community, I don't see where it's.
I can't even get these guys to go street trees for you.
That's where I'm at on it. I don't know what your guys' take is on it, but we are a small area, so allowing people services sometimes is, personally for me, is the better thing to do, but you guys discuss it.
Do we see a scenario where this comes up again? I mean, we're talking about Little Max, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think that's what we have.
So, I guess I should say we do have a policy that says we don't extend services outside city limits without annexation. If the property is within half a mile, they have to annex. If it's more than half a mile, the city can grant permission, but there has to be an extraterritorial agreement.
Outside half mile.
What's that?
Outside half mile, we can.
With an extraterritorial agreement saying they will annex in the future.
But they will.
So there's a policy already for it.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to say, Gina?
I was just going to say that, you know, providing the services, if a property owner's, the way that it's always been done in the past, is if the property owner was willing to pay the, whether it's putting in the pipe and paying that extra rate, that 1.5 times of the city services, to compensate the city, the residents for basically giving up water to somebody that's outside of the city. We have done that in the past. I think that, you know, sometimes it's a case-by-case thing, but it sounds like we've put into place some policies that state that we will take those places into annexation or I would hate to see some place like, you know, we did provide services to all the county buildings and to the water district and things like that, and they do pay that 1.5 times rate. I would hate to see that limit
the future. So potentially this verbiage could be restrictive. rather than leaving it up to a case-by-case.
Yeah, and maybe we need to look at the resolution and write something that's based on that, because that's, you know, adopted city policy, and so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could be. We want to make sure it's consistent.
Should we revisit this one then?
Yep.
Okay.
You have a question?
Yeah, Don.
Why would the city have any authority on development outside the city? And why is it the city's role to prevent premature rural density?
Well, it's if they're providing city services, city water and sewer to them, then the city should have a role in it.
Yes, but the wording there makes it seem as though the
that's
city
the goal.
Has a plenary
We're
power
prevent it.
To do that, to prevent something that's not in the city's power, because it's not in the city.
I think the idea is, looking at rewording this, we just need some more research to decide how it should be reworded. Because
yeah, I think, I mean, to me, it says if someone outside city limits were to seek city services to be extended to their property, that would, you know, they would need to have some sort of agreement.
And I ask that is that I have seen developments where outside the city, a reasonably high density property gets developed with their own water system and septic tanks instead of the sewer system. Mm-hmm. If that happens, it's nearly impossible to later put them into a city, because the homeowners would say, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And here it involves a water issue about the water usage by people that are outside the city, pulling out of a city aquifer.
And so I do think this one, I mean, when I see prevent premature rural density development, it says to me, if we're providing services to areas in the county, those areas might develop at more of a county level density. Whereas if there are areas that we might want to annex in the future, if they get developed at a lower density, then it's going to be a lot harder later on to change that and to bring them into a higher density, more efficient city service use.
How do you approach a developer that says, we're not ready to be in the city, but we want a contract with the city to provide water and sewer services in the meantime for the next 20 years until we are in the city? As a developer, it will take just as much money to do that as it will to develop the systems independently.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that one would be good to make sure we look at what the current policy is, so.
Well, it's not a theoretical notion. Just last year, there was an intense debate about annexing an inappropriate site, mm-hmm. but which didn't happen, but the property owners could still develop that site, and that would short circuit the whole business. Instead of having comprehensive planning, it would be haphazard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that can coordinate with the county as well. It's important here.
Well,
too.
Yeah, but will that happen? So far as I can tell, coordinating with the county is something from an alternate universe.
We'll put a policy in here for that. Then.
Services provided by bus.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they do.
No, they do.
I would too if I lived down there.
Not part of the city.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Okay, to move on to 1.7.
Yeah, we're gonna come back to that one.
Yep. So next one is create an attractive development atmosphere where commercial and industrial opportunities can provide local economic growth. We were looking at this tension with,
what does that even mean?
We have 7.1 and 7.3 in here. Yeah, so those ones deal with ag lands and preserving ag land, so creating an attractive development atmosphere where commercial and industrial opportunities can provide economic growth. I think just making sure that if we're also focused on preserving, you know, ag lands and lands of importance like that, that that's not at odds with this one, but creating an attractive development atmosphere where commercial and industrial opportunities can provide economic growth seems like a idea you would prefer for a city. So just want to make sure that that's that kind of thing.
There's a concern that it might.
Well,
preservation of agriculture.
Well, I think.
Then it's not attractive.
Good.
Don't want to have.
Then it's not attractive.
Right.
I think we don't want to have a policy here that says we're going to really provide for, you know, like let's attract commercial and industrial development, and then another policy elsewhere that says we're going to preserve ag lands and really be,
instead of create, it's a different word.
Yeah, I think
so we still want to do that or have that,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's not the word create that we're looking for.
Well, I think the way that we resolve that tension is that if it's agricultural land and should continue to be agriculture, then it shouldn't be in the city and it shouldn't be in our growth area. I think that's the simple way that you resolve that.
We were plotting that over here.
Hey, great. That's my recommendation.
Yeah.
On to the next.
Okay. The 20-year plan that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think if it was like a 50-year.
Yeah, it'd be different.
Is that really a city responsibility to protect ag land? Why is it our responsibility as a city government to do something in the county?
County does it already.
Yeah.
The county makes those plans.
But you do need to be thinking about where, you know, as the city grows, where is it appropriate for the city to grow? I think that's more the question here.
Well, maybe Don's not asking this this way. So as a city, if we say, man, it would be perfect if we grew here, but then, well, that's prime ag land. Is it the job of the city to say, yeah, we shouldn't mess with that because it's prime ag land? Isn't it really up to what's best for the city? Is that what you're asking, Don?
Best for the city, and the city extending its authority in a direction that doesn't have authority.
If someone has prime ag land, they're probably not looking to sell it and ask it to be annexed anyways.
Right.
Because they're making money off it. Isn't that what ultimately drives that decision?
Well, it's simply we've already done that. The land north of the Walmart is primary ag land.
That's the
we didn't have any problem annexing that.
Us from Walmart.
Well, but that was the owner's decision.
And that's, I think, class six ground.
Yeah, we can't tell the owner not to sell it and develop on it.
I'm trying to understand it.
Kind of what I was asking, why is it the city's responsibility to take any position about land outside the city?
Because if you're saying it's within your growth area and that it's okay for the city to expand there, then you're putting development pressure on that land. And so if there's land that shouldn't be developed, that should stay farming, like the true prime agriculture, then that shouldn't even ever be considered to be a possible part of the city in the future.
Yeah.
No, I can see
that as well.
It's where should the city grow is what you should be looking at. And that plays a role, but you definitely want to.
Okay.
No egg lands. Ah, there you go. He's like, oh, we're going to have problems there.
Yeah.
It was about to get crazy.
That should be up to the landowner to sell or not to sell.
I know.
Yeah.
And there are more policies on ag lands at the end of this table too. So we will have a chance to discuss that more.
I don't have a full understanding of this at all, but I just want to throw this out there. If someone who has a prime piece of ag land right at the edge of city limits says, I want to sell this to a developer, and they approach the city for an annexation, and it all makes sense.
It's in our growth area.
Is the city going to say, that's prime land, we're not going to annex it?
We're not going to say no.
Okay, so that's where I'm confused. So why would we as a city make a goal or policy that we're not going to do it? Why is it up to us if it makes sense?
I think it's more, maybe more the county. The county is required to preserve prime ag land. So I think that, again, comes into the setting of the growth boundaries.
Yep.
And the,
so shouldn't that say something about we won't go against county requirements when we determine growth?
I think that's one of those things that kind of goes without saying, is we are required to be consistent with the county's plans.
Okay. I think, Rob, you don't want to be unreasonable in what you think 20 years of growth will be. Like, if you think 20 years of growth is from here to Warden, that might be unreasonable. You know, that doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, kind of could sort of do that. I think some of our boundaries got a little excessive, you know, with some of that planning. So when you all start thinking about where does Othello reasonably need to be or make sense to be 20 years from now, maybe even 40 years from now, that should fit inside that bubble. And if you go outside that bubble, why are you going outside that bubble? And what are you risking there?
To me, that I get what you're saying, but that, to me, that has nothing to do with what is prime ag land.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so keep in mind, like me and Alma were just talking about this. We went through this discussion. Prime ag land is right now worth a lot more money as prime ag land than residential. I mean, so that's why it doesn't change over. I can't say that's going to stay that way forever. And then if we're too restrictive in that growth plan, that becomes problematic in its own.
I agree.
So it's better to be.
This seems like it's trying to make it restrictive.
Reasonable in your planning, and it won't be an issue. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we haven't been always completely reasonable, and that's how you end up with this annexation way out here. That doesn't make sense with the contiguity.
Okay.
Of the city.
And I hear what you're saying, Rob, about it sounding like it's restrictive, but the county is going to have to preserve that land regardless. So we're just going to follow suit with them by leaving that the way that it is.
Ain't that right, Bob? Are we? Oh, good. Bob agreed. So.
Yeah, and I do think.
I'll understand better later.
No. I mean, Ann comes to the County Planning Commission meetings when we're talking about stuff around the city. So, I mean, she does an amazing job. But I think that the way we have it right now, the map I have is everything on the west side of Highway 17 is not prime ag. I've got a map right here.
I thought that one on the other side of Schmitz was.
Well, here it is. Yeah, I mean, you have to go across Highway 17 to get to prime ag, unless you go farther north or way far south, but... So I don't think prime ag is a big deal right now. I mean, because I think that it depends. I mean, I think that prime ag can go to residential. I think the price is there, but you want to preserve ag. I mean, right. I think if you look at the whole area from Grand Coulee Dam all the way to Pasco, all the irrigation stuff in there, I think you lose like 1,000 acres a year coming out of agriculture. So, I mean, you want to preserve it, but by the same token, you got to have a place to grow.
So I have a question. I don't really understand how 1.7 is in tension with the agriculture ones that are way further down in 7. Because if you read that statement, we do want to create a development atmosphere where commercial and industrial opportunities can grow. So, yes, not onto prime ag land, but like you just said, that's not right here anyway. So I guess I don't really understand the tension.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of where I was seeing this going, is I think the ag land stuff is definitely something we'll get to and talk about. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than what this policy is saying. So... I think we are. It sounds to me like we're good with this statement, we're not concerned about that affecting ag lands, but there's more to discuss on ag lands later.
Okay, so we're ready for 2.2, I think.
Yep. Develop an Othello growth area that provides adequate land designated for residential development. So we have a designated growth area. So we were just looking at maybe changing some of the language on this one to, again, turn it into more of a evaluate, monitor, and make sure that things are, you know, kind of like our vision statement, we're still happy with it, rather than develop an Othello growth area that provides adequate land. So just looking at changing that too. So I don't know if that's something, you know, when we do the comp plan, we look at the growth area, the growth map, and we'll do that together at some point, look at the maps together. But I don't know if that's something that we want to have as a
goal
policy to amend, or if this was more of a statement that, I think the hard thing is we don't know what the original intent of this statement was, but maybe it's just to say that let's keep enough land to be able to have enough residential development growth opportunity.
And they did designate a growth area with that 2015 plan when, you know, when this policy goal was adopted, mm-hmm. also that boundary was adopted. So it fit better then than it does now.
Well, now the requirement is that every 10 years is looked at, right? This comprehensive plan?
The comprehensive plan, yes.
So then isn't this just part of the comprehensive plan that you also would look at? Growth area?
Yes.
It seems like it's already assumed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think to me this one seems redundant.
I agree. How's everyone else feel?
I do think we should be looking at the size of the growth area in comparison to what's needed, mm-hmm. And over time.
Is that something you'd want to do more often than?
More often than every 10 years?
Well, you revisit it every 10, mm-hmm. but it's a 20-year plan. I think the big thing on this, Rob, think about it this way. If in 20 years you need this much growth, but you have this much space, there could be a problem.
I think you'd need to have a tool where if development is just booming and you're like, we're out of growth area all of a sudden,
yeah,
mm. you need to be able to re-look at things. But I think you could do that without necessarily having.
You could say evaluate at least every 10 years or mm. something like that. Mm.
I don't think the city is going to say, this goal says every 10 years, so we're just going to have to wait, right? I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think 10 years is almost too long, Ed?
Mm.
Because this was done in 2015, and we're looking at it now.
It was just readopted.
And our growth area is already bigger than what we have annexed. Right?
So should it be looked at a little more than 10 years? I mean,
no, I'm saying, isn't our growth area already bigger than our annexation right now? So it's been over 10 years and it's not an issue. And I think if you did say 10 years or less, then you've covered it.
Because they just readopted what was already.
Yeah.
Or at least every 10 years. That makes sense.
I think that's all they're doing for about 25.
We're doing it. This is part of what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like we're beating a dead horse here.
No, you're right. But that's how that happened.
Yeah. We're all right on this.
We all get to the same place.
So maybe evaluate at least every 10 years, more often as needed.
Sure.
I like that.
As required by the state.
Okay, that was page one in our
report. Minimize the impacts to existing infrastructure by requiring developments to add a minimal number of taps into city mains. Our thoughts were that this was a little too vague to enforce, unclear, suggesting removing or significantly clarifying. And I think, Anne, you might have more experience with this one particularly.
I don't know what they were trying to accomplish.
So this
I was wondering if Gina would have any insight into this one.
This is from 12 years ago, though.
The biggest expert on this.
So I have this question before Gina speaks. This was 12 years ago, but then we were forcing, if you were building a triplex, you had to have three taps into the city main, right? So we were following it until now recently when I built my triplex, it was allowed to have one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense to me, but
it's been inconsistent for sure.
About the only thing I can think of is, like Rob said, is that, you know, they're minimizing the number of taps, so you wouldn't have like a water service for each individual part of a triplex. You'd have one going in, and then that gets split. But I.
So I was told that the city only has, based on, maybe it's based on the amount of wells. There's only so many taps they have left.
It's based on the amount of water that is available to the city. What we have.
So this makes sense then. Minimal is a good word. What's
so minimal is a good word because you've only got so many taps. Where were we at, Ann? We were at like, we only had like 1,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
1,000 left. Before we, you know, unless we add in as we're going along, unless that the water plant gets added, then we'll have more taps available. But right now we have a finite number of taps available based on the amount of water that's available to the city. So I think that might be where that was going, is just making.
So what's wrong with the wording, Ann? I feel like minimal is a good word to have to try to preserve our ability to grow.
And I have a question on this. And so when we did the ADUs, they have to have their own water meter of their own. They have to be
not
tapped.
Anymore.
Not anymore? Okay, that's where I was going, because I was gonna say, if we leave this the way that it is it gonna contradict what we had to do with ADUs? So then that's been fixed.
It's actually not fixed in the code, but by policy, we don't require a separate water meter because of the limited number we have left.
So then does the code need to be updated?
The code should be fixed, but I'm not eager to bring ADUs to the council to discuss.
Well, it's not like we can get rid of them, right? They're there to stay. But I mean, I'm just saying, because when I went back and looked at it just recently, they require their own tap. So when developers are looking, they're going to go off of what's in the code. And so then this doesn't match code. And then, okay, I was just confused. I just wanted to clarify.
There is a problem.
I would say that this is probably, keeping minimal is probably a good thing because of the finite number of taps you have. Because until you have that water treatment facility that it will give us a huge number of hookups, you're kind of limited. So that might be something you want to keep at least until you get that water treatment plant.
Maybe we can just reword it so that it's more understandable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we want to come back with wording on that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's understandable to me, but obviously it wasn't followed. So it doesn't really matter if it's not followed.
So I mean, I guess to say one thing is that goals and policies are kind of the framework, and then the regulation should come from that. So there's no enforcement authority in goals and policies. It has to be translated into regulations. So.
And minimal is, I understand what you're saying. Someone might say, well, yeah, there should be minimally one per unit of that fourplex that's being built. And so I get that part of it. So clarifying it sounds fine, but you would have to get very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can discuss that more. I wonder if it's more of a code issue and we say, you know, we want to minimize impacts to infrastructure, like that's a fine policy statement.
And that is actually the overriding goal of that one, is minimize the impact to existing city infrastructure and facilities.
Okay.
And then this was a policy under that.
Okay. But yes, we can revisit that one.
Okay.
The next one is explore the option of providing industrial wastewater services by the city or in partnership with other entities. Connected to 5.1.6. Oh yeah, that one's about independent water and wastewater systems to serve Othello industrial development areas. Yeah, I don't know. Are there any initial thoughts on this or other context?
I feel like this goal lines up with kind of what is already and currently being done, and I think it would be a good goal to keep, because then it would align with what's kind of the current process.
Well, as a wastewater treatment plant operator, you don't want to have industrial waste going into your domestic system, because it can very quickly and easily kill off your bio that helps you treat the water. So I would say that if you're going to be doing industrial areas, it's better to have a system that services those.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we require industrial to have their own wastewater plan? I thought we did. That's why I'm asking. Because then maybe we could just clean up this goal.
We don't take the industrial unless, like, we did develop a plan with SVZ, since theirs is where they hold it for so long, and then it's released to the domestic water system or wastewater system. But we don't generally take, like, heavy industry type of wastewater, because like I said, that can very, very quickly kill off the bugs that are doing your treatment
right
in the domestic system. So generally they tend to have some type of treatment or pre-treatment before it's accepted. And that's kind of a state thing, I believe. But I can't answer that off the top of my head.
And do you remember by chance, is there something written that we require industrial to have their own wastewater plan? I feel like we had talked about that a few years back. I can't remember. I don't know if it was a state law we were talking about.
I don't know the wastewater code really very well, so there might be something in there.
I think there's something in there that states that we don't take industrial at the plant.
So, you know what I think, so when I first read this, I think it's more that maybe we would explore having a separate system for the industrial wastewater, which is, I think, maybe what this should be more clarified for, not that we're going to take it into the domestic system, but they would have, so for instance, City of Moses Lake on the north end, where there are some industries, there's a separate wastewater plant just for those industries. So that's what I was thinking of when I read this one, but I don't think it says it very clearly.
That's the impression I was given too. I do know that there is
within the ordinance, there is, or at least there used to be something in there that states that we do not take industrial waste.
And like McCain just recently built a wastewater treatment plant for their facility.
This is just a statement about exploring options.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing binding on this, right?
Yeah.
And then I think then 5.1.6 just gets more specific in speaking to that. So I don't know that they need to be separated or combined myself. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I think we could. The last part of, so 5.1.6, consider independent water and wastewater systems to serve fellow industrial development areas. All such systems shall ensure that the city's interests are primary as a condition for participation if the project requires public funds or participation in funding and grant efforts. Okay.
I think they're both fine myself. No, I don't see the need to be combined, because one just says explore options, and the other one then gets specific about separating. I don't think it hurts anything to have them. Stay there.
Okay.
It's my feeling. For you guys. It's getting close. We won't go past 8, I promise. Promise.
I can tell you the respectable industries will cooperate and do that. The problem is the pirates that dump things down the storm sewer or illegally dump toxic sure. waste. And those are hard to find and hard to catch.
Yep. Okay.
Sounds good. This next item covers a goal and subsequent policies that all have to do with animal control. I personally haven't seen animal control dealt with in a comp plan before, so I was just kind of surprised to see that in there. I know that the city does have a city-provided animal control service, so if that is something that is important to keep in the comp plan, I think that's fine. I just wanted to bring it up since I personally hadn't seen it before in a comp plan context.
It's go ahead, Alma.
To this group.
I don't have an opinion on it.
Is that, I mean, are there, is it something that...
Comprehensive plan should be, I think, more big picture. That gets a little specific.
That's, yeah.
I agree, Mom. I was waiting for you to say it first.
Okay. How do we feel? Do we need to be that specific in our comp plan?
Mm-hmm.
We do or we don't?
We do, we don't what? No, it's too specific. Yeah, get it out.
Gotcha.
Yeah. On to the next.
Okay.
What, and don't we have policies?
And you all got really agreeable.
Ordinances already in place for
we already have
control,
all of that.
So why do you have it in there? It really isn't a comprehensive plan.
It's not adding anything to it. Around. Yeah.
Not denying there might be an issue with it. Just don't feel like it should be in the comp plan. I think it's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, move on.
That's what I was thinking too. So good to hear. Next one, the city wants to create an impression of Othello from the highways. The city wants to be seen as a pleasant place with remarkable landmarks and gateways. Again, back to that kind of gateway concept. Is this about enhancing gateways and connections to regional transportation? I think the other comment is, I think this was in the transportation section of the comp plan, and it seems more like an economic development or identity type of statement, but we'll deal with that later. But is that something that's still important? Do we want to create that impression from the highways? Do we want to be seen as a pleasant place with remarkable landmarks and gateways, as the comp plan currently says?
I don't have a problem with that statement, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's in the right place or not.
Well, I think it's a fine statement. And we can worry about the placement of it, but just wanted to see if it's still important, then we can totally keep it.
I want, for one, like the statement. I don't have anything against it. What do you guys feel?
Yeah. Do we got to vote on each one? Agree. Go.
I will never want to be told Simmons just keeps on going. Didn't even ask us for our opinion.
Agree. Go.
Would you like me to speak for the rest of you from now on? Sounds like we're good.
Great. Next one is areas of the city directly visible from a state highway must be maintained in a manner that reflects the city in a positive way to the traveling public on the highway. So this one, I think, is a similar idea as 4.4.2, but I don't know if it sets expectations too high, and I don't know what maintained in a manner that reflects the city.
I like the staff recommendation, the first word.
Remove.
Yep.
We do beautification. We do so much on that already that.
Okay. Great.
I do have a question about that. If the city is serious about achieving that, shouldn't it also be willing to purchase and develop specific parklands to enhance that appearance that we want? Or are we going to strong-arm a developer into doing it?
Right. Well, I think that's kind of back to the point we were discussing earlier, is how much is city impression on the city versus on developers?
That would go back to our beautification requirements, though. So I think, I mean, we have requirements for developers anyways on what beautification standards need to be put in.
Yep.
So we're already meeting the mark on that. We've gone over that beautification point system, and it's great. If you guys like to look at it, it took us forever to do it and figure out the point system. But yeah, we require a certain amount of trees and bushes, and the big, beautiful red pots you see outside get you X amount of points when you purchase them. So I feel like we're already kind of
keeping an identity. And the city should probably consider this when they're looking to purchase land for a park, too, then. To not put it all on developers. Is that what Dom was saying? Okay.
Okay, next one. Prioritize infrastructure development in advance of need. Anticipate needs and coordinate city infrastructure with economic development opportunities. We said it's worth a discussion about whether the city is willing to provide infrastructure in advance of development or whether this is the developer's responsibility.
Isn't that question about money? About where do you find prior money before development takes place?
Right. So I think there's often a tension with, you know, with developers saying, you know, how much are we as the developer responsible for, you know, putting in infrastructure, and how much of that is the city's responsibility. So I think it's always a balance. I think it's fair to have some responsibility on both sides, but when you're talking about in advance of need, if the city puts in infrastructure, that could facilitate development, but it is also then a cost to the city.
I'm for that, but it's always going to be based on how much money is available. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of that, but I also understand that sometimes there's not the money to do it. And so you can't do something if you don't have the money. I guess you could. You could go to a bond or something like that, but then that's up to the voters.
Right.
Gina.
I was going to say that when it comes to something like that, you know, you always hear development pays for development, and then you also have the other side where cities go in and they put in all the infrastructure for, and then it sits there and waits for somebody to come in and develop it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am kind of somewhere in between. I think that, like you said, it should be a combination of the two. But from what this statement says, it sounds like they're saying that you're basically putting in infrastructure, and in that case, the residents are subsidizing development. And is that really fair to our taxpayers?
I have to agree a little bit with Eugene at the end there. I feel like this doesn't align with the fact that we are a rural community, and that means we should be even more cautious with taxpayer money. I mean, we don't have to, you know, we're not again, rural, right? So we're under what the standard of living is for a lot of communities. So this one for me feels like it doesn't make sense because it doesn't fit Othello.
Yeah, a lot of times when you see those developments that go in, the city goes in and puts in all the infrastructure, all the roads, all the connections are sitting there ready for somebody to come in and build. That tends to be, you see those in the bigger cities where mm-hmm. they have more tax base,
yeah.
more available monies for that type of thing. Whereas here, it becomes a drain on the taxpayers,
yeah.
And what they should have to subsidize for development.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that it can, but that's still up to the city council to determine how much can we do. And if we're talking, I'm not talking, like, let's say the big city says we're going to build out 20 commercial lots. We're going to have all the roads ready for them. But Othello might be able to say, we're going to do that for five.
Yeah.
For three.
And like I said,
and then it brings developers, that increases the tax base,
yes.
And then it can keep happening. So I like the idea that
yeah.
it's the city can prioritize it, but funds yeah. are going to determine
and
whether it can
and
be
like
done.
I said, I think that maybe there's a happy medium in there somewhere
different
where you have
wording.
A little bit of both, but I don't think that it should be all one way or the other.
So if that was worded to where it can show that the city would like to prioritize that as long as with keeping in mind budgetary constraints or something like that, maybe it could be worded differently. So
my issue with the statement is the word prioritize, because it's really not a priority. I think you could say consider mm-hmm. putting in infrastructure to help promote development.
Sure.
You know, but the word for me that catches me is prioritize, because
yeah.
we're not prioritizing that. If we have available funds, we have so much else.
Keep in mind, this is our current plan, and
right.
we're not prioritizing, so a different word probably would fit more with what we're mm-hmm. willing to do in right now anyways.
Right. I mean, if you had to have the city say, what are our priorities right now with available funds, that's not going to be one of them right now.
Okay. So different, reword that to maybe make it look like
yeah.
we're not against it, but
right.
we understand we have constraints.
It's a consideration, but I agree. I think the prioritized language could
okay.
strong, so great.
Even ask you guys this time, be happy.
We've already discussed the next one, which is about the industrial wastewater. Next one, maximize the existing short line railroad that serves Othello to facilitate additional intermodal transportation options for new and existing industry.
Keep.
Now, how do you do that?
Hmm? Why do you need it?
How do you do it?
What do you mean? How do you do it?
What
how do you
influence?
Maximize the railroad? There's two ways you're going to do it realistically. You're going to either extend your industrial north along the rail line, or you're going to put in a rail loop.
Okay. Is that
that's what you're going to do? Because you're not going to go across that canal.
The city would do that?
Huh?
The city would do the rail loop?
I would extend it industrial along the rail line. McCain's already owns land at the, past that. That they're so
uh-huh.
that's where they're gonna
build. So just, it's a zoning
line.
Thing.
Huh?
It's a zoning thing and a growth map what, thing.
What's that?
It's a growth map and a zoning thing then. Increase
for
the zoning
for
industrial.
Industrial. And then that yeah. industrial L, I don't know if I'd keep that industrial.
Okay.
I mean, you wanna keep, remember you have a corridor on Lee Road. So you want to maintain that corridor appropriately. But you're probably never going to have industrial on the other side of it now.
Okay. I'm okay with leaving it.
Great. Love it. Next one is position Othello industrial development areas to support the city with little or no impact on areas planned for residential and retail or commercial development.
We already have a 1,500 foot buffer that we already established Lee Road.
So do we leave that so that then we don't have an ability to change it later? Keep going with it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good with leaving it?
It needs to be bigger.
Oh, with me? Okay.
We're cooking now. Okay. Facilitate food processing equipment manufacturers to foster horizontal expansion of and support for the food processing industry.
How do you do that?
I think you get rid of that. The horizontal development's already been pretty much done. I mean, you're looking primarily at McCain's and Simplot. McCain's has bought another piece of property farther to the north for their next plant. I can't tell you when they're going to build it, but they will build another one to the north of.
So no longer relevant?
So.
That we're feeling? Any strong feelings on this from the commission? Okay. No longer relevant, I guess.
Okay. Page 3. I know it's 7:45, so I don't know how long you guys go in these meetings.
7:59.
Feel free to stop me at any time. So next one will be encourage distribution, logistics, and fulfillment centers, capitalizing on the abundant regional transportation system in the Othello region.
Yes.
I'm all for that, and I think we should add data centers in there somehow, or data center. I'll take one right now to start with. Do any of those, does that, the logistics a data center? Okay.
Is it? I think we should probably call it out specifically if you want to see that.
Why do you think our regional transportation system is abundant since we're pretty much limited to a two-lane highway?
Yeah, 10 years ago, it was seen as abundant.
I think all the highways that intersect, even though they're two-lane, still a lot of a lot of trucking companies and a lot of trucking that comes from here because it can go in every direction. I'm not saying the roads are perfect for it, but it happens, though.
Does the city have any influence over conditions on Highway 17?
On what? Conditions?
On improving Highway 17? It will eventually reach its maximum traffic.
We get two distribution centers in here, we'll probably push the DOT to make some changes.
You're probably right on that.
That's really the only influence we have.
It may take them 50 years.
You can wait for when I'm elected senator.
Okay, I'll wait that long.
Oh, my
God. Stater. Federal.
I already got the money.
Okay.
One of the reasons I asked is that Ritzville really does have an abundant transportation system, and it doesn't seem to help them.
Where?
Ritzville has abundant transportation system, and it doesn't seem to help them.
Maybe they're not doing other things to attract the industry.
I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
I-310.
In general, good with data centers added. Next one, this one is interesting. Work with the Othello Area Chamber of Commerce, Adams County Development Council, and local business owners to have annual shop locally campaigns to reduce retail leakage. This one does seem more specific, like an action item type thing. I don't know if it belongs as a policy, but I also didn't know if that was something that is active or being worked on or...
We did it every year for the last 12 years. You know that?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be there.
Yeah, we do this.
Yeah.
So, already accomplished.
Yeah, go. It's gone.
And we don't need anything to... support future efforts on this? Are we confident that it'll continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I said it happens every year.
Great.
Business is all a part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Actively participate in economic development efforts, including partnerships, recruiting efforts, and attendance of conventions. I think economic development efforts are important. I don't know if this is a helpful policy the way it's currently worded. Partnerships.
In there?
I don't know.
All of the, so that left column, that's all in there.
I think somebody wanted to go to more free. You guys can laugh all you want. I guarantee that's why that was.
Actually, I think it was probably put in there so that the city started attending some of the things like in Las Vegas where the businesses are there and trying to...
the promotional?
Yeah, to try to promote Othello as a place for those types of businesses.
Where again?
Like Las Vegas is one of the big conventions. But it's like restaurants, small restaurants... grocery stores, box stores, those are...
But I feel like
well,
if this...
we've gotten interest, but we haven't gotten anybody yet.
I feel like if this isn't more specific, then it's really like Chris, I mean, you're going to interpret it the way we did. Like, what? We're already attending LAHNSA convention. Staff is, council is, the mayor is. So you either be more specific or just get rid of it. Yeah.
I say get rid of it.
All right. Facilitate diverse residential growth that results in an increase in moderate and upper income population levels to support retail expansion and recruitment. I know, I think the wording in this one that kind of made my ears perk up was the moderate and upper income population levels. Just being saying that in a policy seems
don't seem that being see that being prioritized anywhere. So that yeah, I would say that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I need a bomb noise.
So was that removed?
I think so. I didn't hear that in any of our vision planning at all.
Uh-huh. How does that serve the vision?
It doesn't fit Othello.
There you go. Ooh, she got to use it. How does that serve the vision? We haven't adopted.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
5.5? Yep. Really?
What?
5.5. Develop a sense of place to increase civic and community involvement and expand visitor traffic and tourism in the Othello region.
So I like this, and I think this came up a lot in the vision statement, but isn't the vision statement going to take care of that? Does it need to be that more specific, like the recommendation is?
Yeah, this one is a goal, I think. Yes.
I think in our vision, we got more specific, if that's how it should look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
there were a lot of ideas thrown out that fit that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think in general, this one seems, I think it's a good thing to keep the idea in the comp plan. And I think it's a good thing to keep as a goal. I think.
Yeah.
No,
it's not
good.
Hurting anything leaving it.
Okay.
It serves me.
And just make sure that we're expanding on that. Foster expansion of the Othello beautification project to include all points of entry into Othello, First Avenue, and Broadway Avenue.
This completed. Isn't this completed?
So the street lighting.
Street lighting.
And we already got it in our the standards in our what
yes,
you call it.
Our requirements.
So landscaping. We have requirements
for landscaping.
So it's there.
Does anybody have any history of what the Othello beautification project, what that was, and if it?
Remember when they first started, they not only like at 14th Avenue.
We had the updated sign.
Yeah,
the
we had that big
Othello sign was done.
They were talking about putting, you know, the big sign in the middle of the road and that mm-hmm. kind of arched over. They were talking about gateway beautification, but
right.
I don't know that, like it says, I don't know that beautification is really active anymore.
No, I have lots of things.
Is beautification done for Main Street? And where else would it need?
The lighting is done, but I don't know.
But nothing else with the, there was some more stuff they wanted to do.
Red barrels.
Yeah, and those go towards
red
the point
pots.
System too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's already there.
So,
I
but.
At First Avenue and Broadway also.
Yeah, so they're looking at the gateway areas where you're coming into town.
I don't see how this would hurt leaving it. It would give a goal for those areas you could come back to.
And hope that as commercial expands, you're not just giving up on the beautification
yeah.
side of that.
So if you leave it, even if you leave it specifically as written,
well,
it's a really good thing to come
right.
back to.
All right, you win.
I would say keep it and leave it as
I'm
written.
I'm good with keeping
and
this
eventually,
one.
Eventually you may want to expand your lighting down the main streets
oh,
like First and
next.
I better not get COVID either.
The beautification committee is not extinct. They still exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to do more things. They need new members. We need to do something to actively encourage younger, energetic members to join them. They even have money.
Maybe they could put something on the city website. They should. put an ad or a flyer on the city, on the app, on the city app.
Okay, so let's leave this one, right? Good, all right.
Is the Othello, and for my clarification, the Othello beautification project, is that, that's not, since it's capitalized here, I don't know if that's, that's just a general thing? It's not like a...
Is the project different than the committee? Because there's a committee.
Mm-hmm.
But was the beautification project like a specific project, like doing the lighting?
It was the Main Street project, including lighting and
gateways, and they actually talked about lighting going up 14th and...
So then that project is not
complete.
Technically completed.
Yeah, it's completed for, the lighting is completed for Main
so
Street.
So one part of it is completed, right?
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So there could be more, there could be more for
to
the
add to the project and
so
redefine.
And that may be something that you may want to take the mantle
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What if it's just
we're
kind
leaving
of
it.
General, like foster beautification projects?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I think it gets the same point.
Yeah. Okay, great. Next one, serve as an anchor member of an Othello community roundtable to collect and share critical information about ongoing projects and activities.
There is a group called Othello One, run by Brian Gentry, and they meet the last Friday of every month. I don't know if you guys have heard about it at all, but it, you guys should do it. He does a lunch thing. You just go. It's just him and like two board members, I think. But they host a lunch every Friday, the last Friday of the month, sorry. Business people have come. He's shared some things with me about how he's been able to facilitate two different companies coming together to exchange things that one guy needed to get rid of some stuff he had. The other guy was in need of those things. So the Othello one, I feel like, is a really good thing that we can maybe help, you know, boost as, you know, people living in Othello, citizens, business owners. But, yeah, basically you just come have lunch, you mingle, and you have something you need done or you something you're interested in looking at, and you just share while you're there.
Okay, but this statement is that the city of Othello will serve as an anchor member of the Othello community roundtable.
So maybe something could be done in unison, I don't know.
Maybe encourage?
Yes.
What is a better
promote.
Word? Promote.
But promote the community does have something is what I was trying to say.
But it's not called the Othello community roundtable.
No, it's just no, his thing's called Othello One. Or One Othello, Danielle, is it One Othello? Or
I think
Othello?
It's One Othello.
That's One Othello?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, One Othello. One Othello.
You got confused.
I was close.
Tomato, tomato.
So we want to call that out, like, say, promote One Othello, or do we want to promote
and,
these
well,
types of efforts in
right,
general?
What if you
promote
say
One Othello?
community
efforts.
Efforts that
yeah.
are
yeah.
bringing the community
mm-hmm.
together? Because if they're, I mean, this is a 10-year or 20-year plan,
yeah.
right?
And you could even
hopefully
put, like,
more.
I.E. One Othello, so we could always reference what it was we were.
Yeah.
Promote community efforts that share critical information about ongoing projects and activities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's, I mean, that's literally what he's doing with that, which
did
I think it's great.
Community roundtable meetings?
No.
Just for your information.
I was probably too young for that.
Brian has put a lot of energy and effort into the One Othello program, and he's gotten good
That's
participation.
Good,
it's something we should encourage the city to participate in.
For sure.
It doesn't cost anything.
It's 7:58. We have 7 more items. Do we want to continue this at a later date?
Well, I don't want homework again, so if we finish in the next 30 minutes.
I do.
Can we finish it in, let's try to finish it in 15 minutes. How's that? Because we've been flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, so this next one is, I think the only one about parks we had real questions on, and then the rest of them all are in that ag theme. So whether we want to start that conversation tonight, I don't know if there's going to be a lot, but we could try to get through those otherwise. So I think we can at least get through this 4A. And then depending on how you guys want to move forward into the ag discussion. Yeah, so 4A is each general use park should have no more than half its area developed with formal facilities. I think when I read this, I just wondered kind of where that came from, half. It seems a little arbitrary, but also I understand that you want to leave some, yeah,
That's why.
Keep it.
Oh, trust me, they were trying to fill all the open space.
Gotcha.
It was insane.
Yeah, you know, this seems fine to me.
For future generations that are looking at this in 10 years, like, don't have no more than half to allow open space or to allow unprogrammed space. That gives some clarity to the next round of people that are looking at this.
Fine. Good. See nods. We like it.
7.1.
Does 7.1 line up with what you were going to change in the one right above to protect prime ag land? So then is this needed if you're going to change that one from the page before?
I don't know how we do it. How are we doing that?
Yeah.
How can we, as a city, protect prime ag land from development? I don't understand.
That's why I'm saying if he's already going to change that upper one, just get rid of this one.
There's a whole ag section. It's not.
Well, I meant that first one. But all of them say prime ag.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not the city's. I don't even think the city has the ability, let alone being in their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think
essentially what the city could do is just say, no, we're not going to allow that to be annexed because we feel it's prime ag. And I just don't know. That's a function of the city, anyways.
No. Yeah. I agree with Rob.
Potatoes are bad. Right. That's just me. I don't like it.
So you're going to get rid of the next three, Rob?
Well, if they all are on that same line, I don't understand why, how 7. It's the city's 1, job.
7.11.
So one of the things we provide here in our notes, because I think we were running into some issues with, okay, how much do we want to really discuss prime ag in a city comp plan? So we said, what about instead a goal or policy set to provide protective transitions on the city outskirts to protect county-managed ag lands? So that's where, you know, we could kind of explore a different type of land use transition on city outskirts. We're not encroaching on ag lands, but it is still, if it's within the city, it's kind of up to you guys how you want to handle
that. So if we protect it by zoning, but then one day say,
go ahead.
Man, we've run out of a place to grow, but now we don't really want it. We got to skip and start residential on the other side of that industrial area. We've kind of locked ourselves into a decision that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe someone can help clarify that for me. I feel like prime ag land is going to be protected by agriculture and how much money they're making off of it.
Yep.
And that's
also,
it.
Also, as development gets closer, then that also that causes problems on both sides. It causes problems for the people living there and also for the farmers when you get those things too close together.
I would say when Nathalo came up to 4th Avenue, it was bordering prime ag land at the time. And so it's always been a decision, but someone didn't say, well, let's protect it by putting in an industrial area here.
Not an industrial area, but like a separation, a buffer.
What would the buffer look like?
Oh, that's a good question.
Trail.
Runway? Bob, finally.
Woohoo!
No, there's a lot of different options, but I think Benton County has one that if the city gets up to some, you know, productive farm ground, they have to stay 300 feet away from it. So the buffer is what's huge for, you know, valuable, run with prime ag, general ag, whatever, but the buffer, I mean, as soon as you put a house, you know, right next, you know, 30 feet from prime ag, they got to quit spraying. I mean, they got to quit farming. So it's a 300-foot buffer. I mean, we have that right now in the county. You when you put a house out in prime ag, it has to be 300 feet from your property line so you don't affect the neighboring property.
So that makes sense to me. So, but at some point, then that person who owns that ag land says, I'm ready to sell this to a developer. Yes. Now that buffer zone goes away and the city can then move up to it. So is this more about city future planning boundaries then?
And I have a question.
And if we just word it so that our planning for the future boundaries of the city will take into consideration prime ag, that's really all we're talking about here, right? Instead, we have five sections that are very specific.
Right.
I think buffering, if you can somehow, you know, buffer the prime ag to where it doesn't affect their farming.
That makes sense to me, what you're saying, yeah.
And that way it keeps moving as the city goes, that buffer keeps moving. I mean, so it stays there.
Gotcha.
So something like that would be helpful.
Didn't we discuss a buffer for heavy industry? And we had set it off of the disruption that it would cause on residential. And I don't remember what we set it to, but couldn't we use that same buffer we already have here? Maybe make it a less, but we have something like that already. I just don't remember what we set it to. But that was for heavy industry. So couldn't we set one for ag?
Well, specifics would be in zoning, right? Which is a general statement here in our goals and policies that there will be a buffer.
Right.
And the specifics of the buffer would be in the...
And we just set a buffer like 2 years ago.
Okay. But
what we did is we zoned light industrial in between the heavy industrial and residential.
To transition as of the buffer, right?
Yeah, so it wasn't setting a buffer, it was the depth of that light industrial zone.
Okay, so couldn't we just do something like that in a roundabout way to fix this?
And talking about maybe just as a future, as our future growth map, prime ag land will be considered, and buffer zones be incorporated into that. Is that good enough?
Yeah, that works. But I mean, you'll set it later in your code, and it's going to be how close a house can get to ag lands, so they don't get sprayed by a crop pest.
And so that then it's not just prime ag though, because there's, you know, lots of working farmland that's not prime land.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you don't want people getting sprayed with crop dusters. They get kind of tested.
I'm just thinking of that piece of property that's right now east of Walmart that I believe is Ochoa's, that's not getting developed, but everything across Main Street is going to get developed. That's affecting that circle there then, isn't it?
The one next to it.
East of Schmitz.
So we'll have to buffer that a little bit.
That borders 17. But there's no buffer because I got this Main Street. And on the other side of Main Street, there's going to be commercial businesses being put in. So what's the buffer there?
On which side?
The north side.
The north side? Well, north side, Lee Road.
No,
he's talking north of Main Street.
North side of Main Street, north where there's going to be commercial being developed.
What are you talking about?
What's the buffer from the across Main Street, bordering Highway 17 and bordering Schmitz land, that circle right there? What's the buffer from the commercial that's going to be going in down 14th?
There would have to be commercials. But it was like we talked about this.
Commercial work.
What's the buffer right now for Taco Bell and the fact that AJ's...
Another commercial right has to go there that's...
Yeah.
Across the street. What's
you
the
have
buffer?
To put a commercial there.
I'm just saying, before that was annexed, it was just a circle. Mm-hmm. Across the street from Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
There's no buffer.
No.
Because it's commercial, not residential. So the buffer would only take...
So what he's talking about is...
How about the house that's right there on Schmitz's property that's right across the street from it?
Mm-hmm. Why was it done?
That was annexed later, I guess.
Yeah,
that was
it was county. Annexed later, yeah.
Grandfather.
Okay.
And he turned it into a market. So, yeah, but he also turned it into a market, too. So, I mean, he ran a business out of it as well. I don't think he was...
Well, it's probably considered commercial, though.
We're kind of, I think it's because it was grandfathered. I think that's the answer. It was there before it was actually part of city limits.
I think you're right. Had that been thought through a little bit? I mean, it'll probably be Richard.
This is more of a zoning and code question anyways, but so I was getting ahead of myself. But I feel like that everything in 7 could be condensed down to one statement.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can rework this. I think we have, I think I'm getting the picture that, you know, we are not prioritizing, you know, protecting ag lands within city limits. I know some communities, that's still important to them. So I just wanted to make sure of that. And I think we can make sure we balance the, you know, requirements of making sure we're not disrupting the prime ag lands, but also providing some buffers. So I think we can come up with some language that.
Okay. All right. Well, so the next thing, everything else left on the agenda is just informational, right, Ann?
Correct.
Anyone have any questions about the information on there? I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Put a motion to adjourn. Second? Second. A second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
4-0.
Meeting adjourned 8:10.
Yay.
I let you down, and I apologize.